go.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Did you get to hear the radio?
Yes, sir, I did. I thought it was just excellent. It came through...
such an easy thing. I was thinking of how much easier Roosevelt had at these damn fires. So, you know, I worked on it all morning.
Right.
Jotted it all in and everything, got in. I added that welfare thing. I put that in specially as the example.
Beautiful.
I know. And I think every time you stick them on welfare, the better.
Well,
also, and I also added, see, Ray didn't have in his draft, he just had the 250 billion spending and the rest, but I added it so that it was, the commitment was for 4 years, and I
right.
had no new spending programs, that is, that would add to the budget. And also, I added the jab at them that their spending programs would add $100 billion to the budget. I think I've just got to continue. That isn't partisan at all.
Oh, hell no. No, you did that, Mr. President, in a...
And also with the Congress, I was very, you notice, so gentle with them. I said, you know, they're big spenders in both parties.
Right,
you
know. Yep.
And that's that'll irritate the partisans, but it's true.
Well, it makes it harder for them to come firing back at us. You did that in a... It was a very fatherly way. I mean, you were kind of explaining with a family analogy how the Congress...
Family analogy was written by the... research thing that was Ehrlichman primarily. He has that, and I think it's a beautiful analogy.
Oh yeah, it makes the point. And but the way you did it, following on a discussion of how the Congress works, which most people don't realize, you know, 300 committees, and they're all out.
And they're all, as I said, they all come for their favorite programs, and nobody looks at the whole thing.
Well, I had Fred Rhodes here in the office with me when it was going on.
Who's Fred? VA.
VA, but he was on the Hill. You know, the head of Republican
preacher, isn't he?
Committee. He's a Baptist preacher.
Yeah,
kind of a good politician.
Oh, I know who he is.
And he was just sitting here rolling with laughter. He said, "I just would love to be on the Hill." He said, "Watching those bastards square him." He said, "He's putting it to him, but in a way that they can't quarrel with, because it's true. Everything he's saying is exactly right."
No, I think this. What the reason I called you is that I really think, Chuck, you know, the radio thing is so easy for me, and I have a most people believe a very pleasant radio voice.
It's marvelous radio voice.
Easy, you know. I have a low, you know. It's fitted for radio, really.
Yes, yeah, resonant, very strong. Yeah. It's good.
But I really think that doing a half a dozen of these things, like falling off a log, and you're going to get a story, and they can't say you're not discussing the issues. You know, you just pull the leg rug right out from under them on it.
Well,
what do you think?
Oh, the same thing was going through my mind while I was listening, Mr. President.
Really?
Why the hell?
All sorts of subjects. I can talk about veterans. I can talk about farmers. I ought to make a farm radio speech.
Absolutely.
That's the way to handle the farmers,
yeah.
Rather than to go out to some dust bowl and stand there and talk to a bunch of guys, you know, chewing turnip seeds.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah.
I just think it has all sorts of potential. And while you were talking, I was thinking of exactly the same thing. That, my God, why not do one of these on all the issues that are really important in the campaign?
The thing we might speak to the boys about is that let's get myself a damn good farm speech.
Uh-huh.
And I'll talk about it. And I'll talk about and take the offensive on the grain thing. We've added this much to market share, this and that. And we're going to continue to expand the markets. And the farmers of America's hope got... They can make me a hell of a farm speech.
Well, you could do...
Build her up.
You could do farm, you could do veterans, you could do one on...
Matter of fact, on the farm one, I'm inclined to think, too, thinking of Chicago, that I might just do that from Chicago, too.
Yes.
National radio broadcast from Chicago on
Excellent.
Farm.
Yep.
That sort of relates it to the Midwest and the rest, see?
Yep. And that gives it an added symbolism.
It gives it so that it's different from the motorcade thing, you see?
Oh, I think it's got a great touch to it, Mr. President. I can think of a half a dozen subjects, really. I mean, I can think of even one on labor. You could do one on...
we've done the Labor Day one, of course.
Did the Labor Day one, which was more...
Yeah.
There are a lot that could be done. Defense, you can talk about...
We're planning that. We're planning one on national defense and the American spirit and all that. But, I mean, why not take the gut issues and hit them?
Uh-huh.
We might even do one on aid to private schools.
Oh, wouldn't I love?
You know what I mean?
I'd love.
Sure.
That.
It'll turn off some, but it again reaffirms my own conviction. I think if you could have somebody write one on aid to private schools, I'll just do it, and we'll announce it, and so forth, and then we preempt. Just we'll be talking about it last.
Well, you know, they don't. The beauty of this, Mr. President. Number one, it zings the TV people, and that's good. They deserve it, because
but they can't quarrel with radio, because most of them own radio.
That's exactly right. They can't quarrel with it.
Right.
You do it, it carries a hell of a lot of printed press. The radio stations then have your voice, which they can take and rerun, and I'm sure they'll be doing that all day and all day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
tremendously strong quality to it when it comes over. It is calm, moderate, but firm. You explain things quite well on radio because it's
you can do that where you can't in a speech.
You can't in a speech, that's right. And I was just reading in the news summary today where people were saying, well, some of the columnists rightly was saying that while we're running a marvelous negative campaign, cutting the hell out of McGovern, that we're not saying what we stand for. Well, you get
bullshit.
Well, sure.
We've said it for 4 years.
Of
why
course.
Not?
But the point is, you get this kind of a speech, mm-hmm. and it injects a degree of substance into the campaign, which McGovern isn't doing and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see him try to go to the radio format, because his voice would just lose him votes.
Right. And television's too expensive for him.
That's right. Exactly.
Doing it before a rally is bad.
And he doesn't get the...
But I had this feeling as I read this today, because I did quite a bit of work on it, understand? I worked on it yesterday and today.
Yep.
But no pressure, because when you're not on television, you don't have to think about, God, I got to get it in my mind, and I got to look up, and all that crap.
No, and it came through, frankly, it came through just beautifully.
I had a feeling I did this one well. I mean, I did it without a blip. Well, of course, you didn't have a blip, doesn't matter. But the main thing was, I think it had an easy, relaxed tone, like the press conference.
Well, and the fascinating thing to me, because it was going on radio, is the way radio promoted it.
Did they promote it?
Oh, God. My radio turns on automatically when I wake up this morning, I heard them this morning saying, today, over this network, Mutual, President Nixon will address the nation, and then I heard it again on the car radio, and was on yesterday, and of course...
Incidentally, we got in strongly, I'm holding for later the announcement of actually the scheme as to how we help the old folks on their taxes.
Right.
But you've got to say it twice.
That's right.
I said it in the press conference, I said it again today, and boy, that's a powerful case, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
1 million people. $2,000 and paying $300 to $700 in property taxes. It's wrong.
Well, I have a feeling it's a little bit like what Scammon said about the press conference, or Lubell rather. It's the president is being heard from, and he's there, and it's in the campaign, and people hear it, and it's good, and yet it really doesn't require any of the risks of campaigning. It's a great technique. We'll see.
I think we've really, really, really found it. And incidentally, let's not worry about what the press says. Well, he did it at Camp David and all.
Who cares?
That. Bullshit.
Who cares?
We're going to get a play on it, and we did the right thing.
Well, I don't think
it's good.
I don't think the public gives a damn.
You know, getting back to the other thing about Scam and the Risk, I was just thinking a little bit more about the Harris thing. I think that certainly if Harris had found any slippage, he'd have reported it, because his ass is out there too.
That's right.
But But he really feels that that the guy isn't catching on, isn't that it?
Yes, sir. And,
you know, this Chuck has got to kill those bastards.
Well, we did a little dirty trick this morning.
Of course, everybody should say we expect the Harris poll to show a 10-point closing. Is that what you did?
No, what we did is we had someone from the Chicago Tribune Syndicate phone Gary Hart and tell him that the spread is going to be 19 points, and it's great news for McGovern because he's gaining rapidly.
Yeah.
I hope that he will go out and have a press conference and talk about the closing of the polls just before the damn thing hits.
Yeah.
Monday showing the
27.
It'll sandbag him. Jesus, it'll sandbag him.
Sandbag him always, that's right.
Oh, hell, you know, what it'll do, it's got them all... That's why your speech today was so beautiful in talking about this isn't partisan. There are big spenders in both parties, and there are...
I love that line.
Oh, God.
It's great.
Just brilliant. Because it...
If you would get a hold of Bryce Harlow, if you would, and say, please note that, and that he ought to point that out to George Mahon and Wilbur Mills. The president put that in because of them.
Mahon and Mills, yeah.
Don't you think
that.
So?
Yes.
And
damn good
that because he just wanted to be sure that we didn't have any illusions about this thing.
I think it's...
Maybe, is Bryce the best? Yeah, no, Bryce is better than... We have to look from the outside rather than from the inside.
Oh, yeah, Bryce is by far the
Bryce
best.
Could say, and to Carl Albert, and he could say, look, you know, he just wants to be sure you fellows understand. He, man, and Russell Long, call him, too.
Mm-hmm.
You noticed the president was mentioned the Senate Finance Committee.
Right.
As being among the responsibles. And, you know, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. And they have got to be sick of McGovern. They have got to be sick of him, believe me.
Oh, hell, they're running...
They're dying, aren't they?
They're running away from him like a plague, Mr. President. And I think the campaign has reached... these things think the campaign has reached a point where we've really solidified, you've really solidified the support you have. He has gone so wildly desperate that I have just the feeling he's liable to start slipping even more. I mean, that...
I don't think he can slip, no.
Oh, well, that crack today about the...
demagoguery?
No, the crack about the Ku Klux Klan. I never can get that right.
Well, I didn't hear about that one.
No. Oh, hell, he says the Republican Party is like the Ku Klux Klan. And they're going...
God, that's like Romanism and rebellion.
Yeah, sure.
Some of our people really are... Javits ought to hit that.
Well, Bob Dole went after him this morning with with about as tough a statement.
Ku Klux Klan. How the hell are we for the Ku Klux Klan? What do we do?
Well, because here's what he did out on the campaign trail yesterday. He said, I have evidence that certain high Republican officials are paying blacks not to vote. And,
Christ almighty.
And then the press said to him, well, now, what evidence do you have? And he said, I have reliable reports, but I can't give them to you because I have to protect my informant.
Oh, Christ.
And they said, this is right in the Washington Post, they said, wait a minute, Senator McGovern, that's the same thing Senator McCarthy did. And the press really apparently went into him
hard. This is bad, though. This is bad. Because, goddammit, we've got our faults, but we wouldn't do that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Of course. But the point is that...
Listen, let's have a substantial black take him on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who could we think of to do that?
We've got some good blacks in-house. We've got some blacks at our committee.
But let's see. The best one, basically, is the guy over at defense, you know? You know what I mean? The guy that was in charge of...
Johnny Johnson?
No. Oh, Christ, no. Nice fellow, but... The other fellow is the guy...
Chappie James.
Yeah. I think James... what the hell?
He has a problem as a military officer, but...
The hell with it being military. He just goes on and he says, I resent this deeply. You know? Why not?
Maybe I can get him to do it. I'll talk to him.
He'd love it.
Oh, he loves to do it. He's been always held down by the Pentagon, but...
The hell with it. He'll love it.
Well, if I can get him to do it.
This is a damn lie, and I'm not going to get into politics, but I'm not going to allow my race to be maligned.
The guy,
you know, he's going beyond the pale.
Oh yeah, way beyond the pale. But Ken Clark.
What do you think of the demagoguery thing that he made? That I was a demagogue for.
I love it.
I don't know what the Christ I said.
I love it.
But demagogue about amnesty, right?
Sure, I love it because he's on there in the most defensive posture. I watched it on the late news last night. He was defensive as hell. It was obvious that we stung him with that amnesty thing. And what he's on there doing is defending his position on amnesty.
Amnesty, all I put is in one sentence.
Sure.
One phrase, remember?
No, I'm opposed to amnesty. Which is fine. And here he whipped. Of course, for him to suck to the bait like that just shows you the desperation that they're in.
And he'll suck to the bait on this $100 billion increase in taxes, too.
Oh, I think you got him today in a couple of
places. Biggest tax increase in history, that's what I said, you see. It will be.
The thing that is killing him, Mr. President, is that he can't get at you. And every time you feel like just lobbing one at him, it gets him right where it hurts, and he knows that. And so he goes, instead of ignoring it and staying on his campaign. You see, we've thrown him off stride. I would estimate a dozen times that I can remember since the 1st of September, we've thrown the guy off stride. And what it means is that as he starts to try to build any kind of momentum behind his campaign, you let him have one of these, and Christ, he sucks for it every time. That speech out that he gave in Cleveland was a direct result of his being hit day after day on defense and foreign policy. So, boy, he gets out and gives a speech, which is totally unbelievable. I mean, it's really being laughed at.
By whom?
Oh, yeah, by the press corps laughing at it. And when Rogers takes him on it on Tuesday, I think you'll see it. Well, Howard K. Smith took him on it last night.
Well, what did he say?
Well, Howard said that it was a tough choice because we weren't handling domestic affairs very well. He panned us on welfare, which I expected.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But then he took McGovern on his international speech in Cleveland and said, you know, that it basically he doesn't understand the world problems and has a disastrous international policy. It was a cut at him that was hard.
Said on welfare, of course, as you know, all the libs are for this, but I think the key line that I wrote into this speech was the one where I said that I want this country to be generous on welfare for those that cannot help themselves. But I have one principle that will always guide me, that in helping those who do not work, we must not raise the taxes of
those who do. Yeah.
By God, that gets to our constituency.
Oh, does it ever? That is such a marvelous line and such a quotable line. I want to get our people using that because that is just
stick it to them.
No, that just brings them right out.
Make it appear that they're advocating all that, which they are.
Sure, they are. Well, you made the point of the various welfare proposals that our opponents have made, and that would put millions more on welfare
and add billions to the cost.
Right. Now that was a masterful speech.
Let's let them have a little fun with it. They'll squeal. You'll hear the damnedest squeals about this.
Oh, they'll rise to the bait. They'll rise to the bait.
That's the point. Let them rise to the bait. Let them discuss welfare. Let them talk about their $1,000 program. Say, well, it really doesn't require it, so we're going to get it out of the oil, man. We'll see.
Well, the beauty of this, whole technique with really essentially 4 weeks left, and I think you can do this in other radio speeches. The beauty of this is it breaks the stride of his campaign. It really does. And it's important that we continue to force him at every turn. And I think we're going to start getting more help from the press. I really do, from what Clausen tells me this morning.
What's he say?
Well, he just says that the way he handled that McCarthyism thing yesterday, he's just got them all pissed off. And the way Greider wrote that piece in the Post this morning, you could tell that they're just...
You mean the idea that saying that he had information, but he couldn't reveal his sources?
Yeah, and then they said,
McCarthy used to say.
Well, they said, how is that different from Senator McCarthy? And he said, well, in the case of McCarthy, he was lying, but I'm telling the truth. Well, they just look at him and say, come on. That's really, I mean, that is so far beyond the pale that...
That we're paying Negroes not to vote?
Yep, isn't that awful?
Not for Christ's sake. How the hell could you do that?
Yeah, well, it's just, it shows you how desperate the guy is. He's incredibly desperate. But I think I really think, Mr. President, that the strategy, I just have this, I really have a strong feeling that this guy now is going to be unable to pick up stride of any kind because he is, he's showing the tendency.
You must remember, his big punch now, Chuck, is Monday and Tuesday. This Vietnam thing, and our great mistake will be to defend.
Well, we're not going to defend.
What we have to do is to attack the hell out of him for wanting to turn the country over to the communists. That's all.
Well, we have just delivered to his headquarters.
Bug out, white flag. Huh?
We've just had delivered to his headquarters, Mr. President, a copy of Monday. You know, our Republican National Committee publication.
Yeah.
The cover of it has a headline: "Advanced copy of McGovern plan to end the war in Vietnam," and then the whole front cover is a cartoon of McGovern standing with his hands up, surrendering. It's a cartoon,
yeah.
But it's very cutely done.
Yeah.
And I had one of our young fellows just walk it over, and of course, it'll send them into orbit. This is the kind of thing that they can't.
That's right.
They can't control themselves when they get hit like
keep
this.
Keep them right on that.
So you will see him by Tuesday night. He will be defensive on this issue. We will.
Well, figure he's going to make a little yardage because he'll talk about the bombing and all that. It's true. It's who knows what all these things are going to accomplish. But the main thing is we must not answer. We must attack him. He wants to turn the country over to the communists. That's the only issue.
Yep.
On defense, it isn't whether or not jobs are going to be lost. I mean, that's good for Laird to say, and that's very good at local areas. But nationally, the question is, on defense, it's going to make a second to the communists.
That's right.
That's the thing that grabs people.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, and turning the South Vietnamese, turning the country over to the communists after we fought so hard.
17 million people over to communists,
right.
And they already killed a million.
And that just, frankly, that just guts them when we do that. And we have a whole series of speeches set for Monday on that. We have Laird for tomorrow.
If we've been able to follow up at all on my thought that we ought to get some Vietnam ads ready. I mean,
I talked to Holden.
The group never did get anything. And
no, they didn't.
Surprised they have.
And I talked to Holden.
We've got to be ready now. That's what we need. That's going to be the issue.
Well, I talked to Bob this morning, and Bob said that he was going to have a meeting this morning to see what they could do. He said he doubted.
Anything else together? Huh?
He doubted they could do it. And but I've he's working on it.
So
and
we're stuck them with speeches and not ads. And
his feeling, Mr. President, is that we shouldn't jump at something. Bob feels well. I shouldn't quote how he feels about it.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't want them to get a big issue going and then us have nothing running in return, except speeches.
Well, I think.
And another thing too, the reason Chuck, they didn't have an amnesty ad. They don't believe in it.
Oh, well, I know that.
People.
I know
the reason
that.
They didn't have an ad, don't turn the country over to the communists. They don't believe in that either.
I know.
That's our problem. We've got people in the advertising group who basically don't agree with my views.
Well, if you promise not to quote me, I have to tell you that that's exactly the problem. I've argued with these people until I'm blue in the face on some of these issues, and I know I've made myself a little unpopular, but I think we'll see. It ought to be done.
Well, if we can't do it, we can't do it, but
yeah.
It's a great mistake.
Well, it's the problem you're talking about, the argument on amnesty that is made, and...
You're going to lose the young, I know.
Maybe
the
it's
Jews,
good.
I know. Right.
So, I don't.
Right?
I don't agree with it.
Well, let's lose the young and the Jews,
and
but we're going to get a hell of a lot of others.
You're just going to get millions of blue-collar...
4.5 million people were drafted to serve. 2.5 million to 2.25, 3/4 went to Vietnam. Now, Christ almighty, we're going to talk about these 400 or 500, maybe at 3,000 or 4,000 at the most, that deserted, and the rest, and say that's what we're concerned about. They're crazy.
Well, as Lowell Weicker said, he goes around talking about them as the cowards who've abandoned the country, and he brings people right out of their chairs.
That's right.
And there's a lib, and he does it, by God, to
right.
all kinds of audiences, and gets the same reaction.
We can't get this, though. Our own group, the whole domestic council, the whole bunch, they just don't agree with the issue.
Well, what you're talking about, Mr. President,
Bob does, of course. He's
all
for it.
Yeah, Bob does completely.
Basically, you know, the others don't.
Well, Bob Holloman does completely. Oh, hell yeah. But it is gut political issues. That is a gut political issue. You don't have to limit it to the people in Vietnam. Hell, millions who went in Korea, the World War II generation, everybody remembers that.
They all went and they served their country when it was a pain in the ass. And what about these jerks that run off to Canada?
Yeah, I mean,
Well, they're going to go to jail.
I don't think I'm any, I don't consider myself necessarily very unsophisticated, but the goddamn issue makes me furious when I think about it.
That's right.
I saw a hell of a lot of people go that didn't want to go, so I'm dying.
Anyway, let's go forward on some of the, we'll be thinking of going forward on these things, but I think a farm thing, we can pick all sorts of special issues. Just run something, even on the, as I said, on the private school thing. We'll run a radio speech on it.
I'd love to do that.
Reprint it.
I'd love to do that.
That's a good one.
By the way,
sit down and think of about 4 or 5 of these.
Yes, sir.
We'll run them. I'll run them regularly. We'll run them till they run out of their goddamn ears.
Well, there's 31 days left. We could get five or six of them in very easily.
Well, or more.
Or more,
but
sure.
Don't make them. See, the thing about the research shop, they're thinking that what we really ought to do is to talk in terms of the great hopes for the next 4 years, and which is fine, and my vision of America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's fine. That's fine for the columnists. It doesn't make one bunch of nothing for the people.
No.
People want you to talk about substantive issues.
They want you to talk about...
You hear or not?
Yeah, totally. They want you to talk about issues that impact directly on them.
So
when you're on there today...
You talk about your dreams for America, that's fine for a rally speech. It isn't worth a damn for the average person.
No, and it's fine for the suburbanite in Scarsdale.
That's right.
Doesn't
suburbanite and the people that write the columns.
Yep.
And we ought to have one on that. But that's all. No more.
One is fine. National goals or the hopes for the country.
That's right.
But I do think, Mr. President, when you... Your speech today, when you're talking about, I do not want to raise the taxes over the next 4 years.
I don't want to add anybody on welfare.
And don't want to add people to welfare. That's people looking 4 years ahead and saying, well, I agree with them. You know, that's
right.
Exactly right. That's what they want.
Okay, well, let's look at the baseball game, okay?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. Good work, sir.
All right.
Thank you.